Open Mic Friday on this Friday, September the 7th in the year of our Lord 2012. I'm Tom Baker, your host for Law and Gospel. You not only can hear me during the next half hour, but at 4:30 you'll want to tune into Issues Etc., where I will be doing the Sunday school lesson, not for this Sunday, but for the coming Sunday after this Sunday, which would be, well, I'm looking at the calendar, the 16th. And we're taking a look at what the Sunday school lesson is there. That's on Issues Etc. here on KFUO 4:30. But right now, it's an open mic Friday, which means you can call in with any question or comment of a theological nature. I'm not saying I'm going to be able to answer it. I may be ignorant of something. I may have forgotten something. Or there may not be an answer in the Bible. Because about 8,000 questions I have, there is no answer in the Bible. I've got to wait to get to heaven to find out the answer. And I got a feeling, once I get to heaven, I'm not sure I'm going to be that interested in answers. But who knows? One of the items we were unable to get to this week was the hymn for this coming Sunday, Praise the Almighty. And I don't want to spend the whole time on it. So what I'm doing these days is taking what I consider to be something distinctly Lutheran about the hymn, something that other denominations would not agree with. In fact, when they sing it, they probably do agree with what they're singing, but they don't realize that they're not agreeing with it in their actual theology and practice. In fact, you don't have to go any further than the first verse of Praise the Almighty, My Soul Adore Him, written by Johann Daniel Helmschmidt, who died in 1773. Praise the Almighty, my soul adore him. Yea, I will laud him until death. With songs and anthems I come before him, as long as he allows me breath. From him my life and all things came. Bless, O my soul, his holy name. Alleluia, alleluia. Now, if you've been listening to Law and Gospel for any length of time, did you hear the distinctly Lutheran emphasis of this hymn? An emphasis that other denominations would disagree with us. Well, I'll read the verse, or that portion of the verse. From him my life and all things came. Now, I think most people will say that's correct. But then in their theological practice, it's not correct. Let's take, first of all, every other religion in the world outside of Christianity. Every one of them, salvation is by works, some kind of work, either obeying commandments, following ceremonial laws, giving offerings, sacrificing for others. You have something you must do, say, or think. And then when you reach that level, you help in your salvation. You see, that contradicts the notion that from God all things came. No, you brought some things also. You cooperated or contributed to your salvation. Now, where among Christian churches do some denominations disagree with this? Well, if you truly believe that all things come from God, then your salvation comes from God. You have no part in it. You don't contribute to it. You don't cooperate in it. It's a gift. And that's why God uses one of his favorite analogies in the Bible, is you became a part of his family, obviously not by being begotten, only Jesus is begotten, but by being adopted. And as I've said 100 times, what does the baby do to get adopted? Does the baby cooperate in its adoption? Does it contribute to its adoption? No, many adoptions take place, and the parents-to-be don't even see the baby prior to the actual day of adoption. I've had members who have to fly overseas, perhaps to Russia or other places, to pick up their child. They may have a photograph, but the photograph isn't what decides them to adopt. They've already decided that. The photograph is simply, here's the evidence of what your child that we have picked out for you is going to look like. It's really, really, totally the work of the parents in that adoption. And that's what God is talking about to us today. That in this hymn, Praise the Almighty, the first verse, from Him my life and all things came. So that this is really Reformation theology. You know, part of the problem at the time of the Reformation was not over sin. Everybody agreed what sin was. The real problem was, what about your good works? What part do your good works play in your salvation? And the Romans, they said, a big part. You're saved by faith plus works. Your works mean a lot. And the Lutherans said, nope, works don't count at all. And if you're ever trying to figure that out, just think of a baby getting adopted. The works of the baby don't count at all. There are people who have adopted babies that are almost in comas. They're not speaking, they're unable to move, maybe because of disease, and they still adopt them. So the baby does nothing. You want to talk to me? It's Open Mic Friday. Great opportunity. In St. Louis area, it's 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Let's go speak with Rick. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Pastor Baker. How are you, sir?
Very good. Yourself?
Pretty good shape for the shape I'm in.
Well said.
Okay. I got to disagree with you. I had plenty to do with my salvation. God did the chasing, and I did the running away.
The fact is, the running away didn't save you.
Right, I realize that.
Yeah, it's a good point you're making, that we definitely do activities in the process, but none of those activities count towards meriting our salvation.
Exactly. What I wanted to leave you with,
yes,
was Psalm 119.
Oh, wow, and that's the longest psalm in the Bible. Which verse?
And, well, it's the very last verse.
Oh, good.
176.
I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments.
Exactly.
Okay, and your question?
It's just a comment. He's asking God to seek him. You go through this whole psalm, and it talks about how he loves his statutes, his commandments.
Yes.
All of this. And then at the very end, he realizes, if God doesn't do the seeking, I'm just going to remain a wandering sheep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we're reminded of another Psalm, 23, you know, the Lord is my shepherd.
That's right. Amen. And what's this half-hour thing all about? Very disappointing.
Okay, yeah. Any complaints, I just tell you to talk to the administration of KFUO.
I hear you. I really appreciate you and enjoy the program.
Thank you so much for calling. God bless.
All right.
And my name is Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel. We're examining various passages in the Scripture. And I'll tell you, that Psalm 23, there's a lot more to it than people are really thinking about. For example, the Lord is my shepherd, and he says he restores my soul. That's verse 3. You know what that means? He brings me back to life. He brings me back to life. In fact, Luke 15, the parable of the lost sheep, is kind of Jesus' upgrade on Psalm 23. Because indeed, Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Numbers here are 505-7850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Let's go speak with James. Hi, James.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Pastor.
Yes.
Could you please give me a quick law and gospel application of Job chapter 31, verses 19 through 28? We've been having a discussion about...
Don't you guys ever get in the New Testament?
Well, sometimes. Actually, we were, because we were talking about the way, the truth, and the life.
Oh, that's good.
And so we were kind of focusing on the life, the Christian life, and compassion. So could you possibly
sure
read that and give us a law and gospel application, if you have time, please?
Okay, and you're going to listen off air?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thank you so much. Let's go with Job 31, verse 19 to 28. If I have seen anyone perish for lack of clothing, or any poor man without covering, if his heart has not blessed me, and if he was not warmed with the fleece of my sheep, if I have raised my hand against the fatherless when I saw I had help in the gate, then let my arm fall from my shoulder, let my arm be torn from the socket, for destruction from God is a terror to me, and because of his magnificence I could not endure. If I made gold my hope, or said to fine gold, you are my confidence, if I have rejoiced because my wealth was great, and because my hand had gained much, if I have observed the sun when it shines, or the moon moving in brightness, so that my heart has been secretly enticed, and my mouth has kissed my hand, this also would be an iniquity worthy of judgment, for I would have denied God who is above. You know what I'm reminded of almost instantly is actually the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gives, and other portions like in the book of James. What is Jesus saying on the Sermon on the Mount? Remember that section he talks about, if your eye cause you to commit adultery, then pluck it out. If your hand moves you to steal, then cut it off. Boy, this almost sounds exactly like verse 22. Then let my arm fall from my shoulder, let my arm be torn from the socket. You know, if I've raised a hand against the fatherless when I saw I had help in the gate. Because verse 23 is the key. For destruction from God is a terror to me. And remember what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. Better to go into, you know, heaven with one eye or one arm than into hell and destruction. Now, of course, the Sermon on the Mount is really talking about if you want to get to heaven by your works, you got to get rid of all your sin. Here, I believe what Job is saying here is that what he's saying is that this is really an act of repentance. He is beginning to understand who this God is now. Particularly when his friend Elihu comes and contradicts what his friends are saying. You know, the friends are saying to Job, the reason you have so many problems is because you're a big sinner. And what Job is doing here is he's kind of really, and this is really a coincidence, James, I don't know if you knew this or not, but he's almost repeating the hymn for this coming Sunday, which is kind of interesting. The hymn for this coming Sunday talks about the fact that our help is from the Lord, from whom comes our salvation, and that we cry for mercy, look to him for pardon and peace, and then listen to this line, ever the wants of the poor supplying, their faithful God he will remain. He helps his children in distress, the widows and the fatherless. You see, this is where we get to James, the book of James, where it says, if you have dead faith, it won't evolve in any works. But true faith is one in which you really love Jesus Christ, and therefore you automatically do good works. You take care of the widow and the poor. And that's what these verses are saying here in Job chapter 31. What Job is simply saying is, Lord, I've seen my life And now that I'm in the straits that I'm in, I recognize the times when I myself didn't help those who were in need. And so it's really a wonderful act of repentance, these verses. In fact, they go on. He says, if I rejoiced at the destruction of him who hated me, or lifted myself up when evil found him, you know, I brag about my conditions, or if I've covered my transgressions as Adam did, wow. What are you saying here? Then let thistles grow instead of wheat and weeds instead of barley. You know what he's saying? Make me aware of the true condition I am in. Because I'm often of the insight that I really don't need you. I really don't need your help. I can accomplish it. Because I've seen in the past I am accomplishing things. You see, what Job is confessing here is that when he looks at his past, he realizes, boy, there's really nothing I've accomplished that wasn't from God. Anything good. In fact, that's really what the part of the hymn we were talking about. From him, my life and all things came. So the law is accusing every one of us of taking credit for our accomplishments. Maybe giving God partial credit, but we get big heads and we think we can move forward into another area and we don't realize that we are not in control of our life at all. This is really important to understand. You are not in control of your life. You can be riding on a double-decker bus, and you're on the top level, and within 5 seconds, a flat tire occurs, and you go smashing into the embankment of an overhead highway, and you're dead. See, death can come instant fast or prod excruciatingly along. You could be in a hospice for 8 years, or before the day is over, like my father, riding in the car beside my mother who was driving, he took a big breath and he was gone. That quickly. No signs ahead of time that he was even sick. That's how fast God can take us. But you see, the good news, all right, I'm not in control, but God is. And therefore, as a Christian, I can be sure he will never take me until he's ready, which means that I'm ready. I'm Tom Baker, listening to Law and Gospel. Any theological questions, don't hesitate to call me at 505-7850. That's in the St. Louis area. Toll free 1-800-730-2727. We have a real question here. We talk a lot about faith saves. And the question is, wait a minute, I thought Jesus saves. How can you have two sources of salvation? This is an excellent question, because it fits right into a law and gospel discussion. In fact, it's number 14 thesis that C.F.W. Walther wrote to pastors about how they often confuse law and gospel. And when we talk about confusing law and gospel, we're not talking about the content, like, is this verse law or is it gospel? No, we're talking about the use, where they'll say something that gives you the wrong impression from God's point of view. And here's what C.F.W. Walther wrote back in the 1800s. The word of God is not rightly divided when faith is required as a condition of justification and salvation. Now, if you understand that, I'll be surprised. Because haven't we said time and time again on KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod radio station, on all of our programs that are Lutheran, that we're not saved by works, we're saved through faith. And yet here, C.F.W. Walther is saying, you know, we are wrong when we say faith is required as a condition of justification and salvation. But it seems that's exactly what we're doing. But he goes on to explain. The word of God is not rightly divided when faith is required as a condition of salvation and justification, as if a person were righteous in the sight of God and saved not only by faith, but also on account of his faith, for the sake of his faith, and in view of his faith. Ooh, that's a mouthful. What does that mean? Well, I'll give you a very simple example. You go up to somebody who's a Christian and you say, how do you know you're saved? And he says, because I have faith. That's precisely what Walther is arguing. That's like saying, how do you know you're a member of the family that you're a member of? And you say, because I have clothes and a bed. No. The answer is because you were begotten by your parents or adopted by your parents. The correct answer, why are you saved, is because Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and rose for my justification. What's faith? Faith is simply that element given to us by the Holy Spirit where we trust the promises connected to his death and resurrection. Faith doesn't save you in the sense that it's a condition of your salvation. No, Jesus saves you. Let's try and get one more person in. Let's talk with Ed. Hi, Ed.
Hi, Mr. Tom Baker. I saw you Wednesday night.
Oh, so you were out there at Hope Lutheran Church for our Bible study.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
I was thinking about what you said, what faith is. And, of course, it's an act of God.
Yep.
Into us. And the scripture says that faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. And another place, how can those hear unless a preacher be sent? So, you know, it all has to do with the gospel. And what is faith? It's the evidence of things hoped for, but not seen.
Exactly. Well, you're quoting the book of Hebrews.
Yes. And,
see, I have no faith. I remember you, Ed. I have no evidence that you are a sinless human being. But God says you are.
Right.
And see, so I base that, if you wanted to take the Lord's Supper, you're a member of Hope High Ridge, I'd be giving you the Lord's Supper because of your confession and because it's not my job to, you know, check out your heart.
That's right.
Between you and God.
That's right. And we do those things which please God because he loved us first.
Well, that's really, yeah, we love him because he first loved us. That's another verse. But what's with you, Ed? All you're doing is quoting the Bible.
Well, I don't know. I guess maybe I'm trying to get the Bible in me.
Well said. That's well said. Oh, I sure appreciate that, and I look forward to seeing you this coming Wednesday.
Okay, one more thing.
Yes, sir.
Somebody asked me, how did I know I was saved? And I said, because the Bible says I am.
I would go with that if what you mean by that is because the Bible says I know I am because Jesus Christ did indeed die on the cross and take my sins.
That's right. Everything in there is true.
Yep. Excellent.
All right. See you Sunday, brother.
Well, no, Wednesday.
Oh, Wednesday. Oh, okay.
But I hope you're there Sunday. I just won't be. Not at that church. Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much for calling.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Yes, for those of you who don't know, on Wednesday nights at Hope High Ridge, I'm doing a four-week Bible study, and they're independent parts. So if you missed last week, you're not going to be behind because we go to something kind of new each Wednesday. It's at 7 o'clock. Hope High Ridge is out on Gravoy Road, and I'll give you more directions next week in case you'd like to be there. But the folks are inviting other people from the surrounding area each Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And in case you weren't hearing earlier in the program, today at 4:30, I'll be on Issues Etc., and you'll be hearing the Sunday School lesson for September the 16th. And you can go, by the way, and hear those Sunday School lessons. They're actually on the Concordia Publishing House website, cph.org/teacherspot. So that's cph.org/teacherspot. Coming up, coming up this Monday is one of the more difficult verses in the Bible. It seems like all of them are difficult when you examine them. Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Well, is that true? We'll talk about it on Monday. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.